You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Chris Farrell from Marketplace is back with us. He says 2017 is a great year to start a second act, changing careers, starting a new retirement job path, and other big economic changes.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news with stories from next week's primary election, an announcement that shakes up the U.S. Senate race in 2018, and a big demonstration on immigration issues in Milwaukee and other cities.
Robert Mentzer joins us now. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, Rob, it is great to be back.
Let's start with the Day Without Immigrants protest on Monday. That was a statewide one. There was a national protest, a similar protest on Thursday. What happened here in Wisconsin earlier in the week?
Yes, so the largest protest in Wisconsin happened in Milwaukee on Monday. They called this was called the Day Without Latinos, right. Immigrants, and Refugees. So this was organized by the immigrants' rights group Voces de la Frontera and some other groups. And this was a large event. There were thousands of people who showed up for this. There were buses of activists from Green Bay and Appleton, from Racine, Wisconsin Dells. And so, you know, this event itself is not brand new. A Day Without Immigrants as a demonstration has happened before, but I think that it has some resonance in the Trump era, especially as this week we saw what looks like an increase in raids and arrests by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service. So there was a large turnout, a lot of interest in this, and they certainly made their voices heard.
And this wasn't just in Milwaukee, though.
Well, the largest protests happened in Milwaukee. They marched down through the past the courthouse. They aimed some protests at Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, who has had a lot of things to say on the topic. But throughout the state, there were you know, some participation in the Day Without Immigrants. Sort of the national event happened on Thursday. You know, we had even here in central Wisconsin, we had a reporter spoke with folks in the small town called Abbotsford, which has had an influx of Latino immigration in the past decade or so. So the Wausau Daily Herald reported that that some businesses closed even in Little Abbotsford, right? And one of the major employers there, this was interesting, Abbeyland Foods actually slowed production and partly shut down production on Monday because there were so many workers at that plant that wanted to travel to Milwaukee for that protest.
And immigration, your papers have reported, a big issue, and it's not always on the radar, in smaller towns and in rural Wisconsin.
This is true, and it's especially it's hard as, you know, if immigrants come from all over the place, and there's reporting on somebody who's you know Syrian refugees are scattered throughout Wisconsin in small numbers. A large number of immigrants are Latino, and in many cases we see in central Wisconsin, for instance, they often are employed in the agricultural sector, living in rural areas, and so there may not be as much attention, publicity. They may not be as visible in some cases, and so this was this demonstration and this protest was designed to counteract that.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from the USA Today Network Wisconsin, rounding up some of the top stories in Wisconsin news. Couple pieces of election news here. One election just a few days away, one a bunch of months away. Let's start with the one coming up. Department of Public Instruction Superintendent, top job in Wisconsin schools. Primary, three candidates. Primary's coming up Tuesday. The two challengers to incumbent Tony Evers, the story goes, met in December. They were brought together by business people. They agree so far. What are we hearing now? Their stories diverge.
I love this story. Don't you love this story,
it's
Rob?
It's an unusual story.
I cannot help it. I am fascinated by this. So this was first reported by Molly Beck of the Wisconsin State Journal. I know she spoke about this on Central Time. So this meeting existed, right? So the thing to understand is that the incumbent in this race for state superintendent is Tony Evers, and it is a nonpartisan post. But Tony Evers is more aligned with the Democratic Party in his sort of approach to education issues. The two challengers, Lowell Holtz and John Humphreys, It is fair to say that they are more aligned with the Republican Party in their approach to education. So the idea, I think, was that some Republican businessmen saw it as more advantageous that they sort of train their fire on Tony Evers and suggested that they get together and try to work out how they might cooperate. But what's bananas is there's this document that were released, actually two versions of a similar document, showing that sketching out a potential deal if one of them were to drop out or perhaps after the primary for going forward, that guarantees a $150,000 a year government job to the other for 3 years, full benefits with a driver, and then also this is another wrinkle is apparently in this document included the idea that whoever dropped out would somehow be able to take over large urban school districts in the state, which is really not how it works, but is in this document that was released.
And it's been pointed out that $150,000 is more than the superintendent himself, I guess it's all guys, himself would make after the election.
Yeah, so it doesn't, I mean, it's just bizarre. The document, so to quote it, the document said that that maybe this is just an idea that was thrown around, according to Holtz, but it said that this other person would have, quote, complete authority over Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, and Madison that would include the authority to, quote, change boards when I deem it necessary and to break apart districts. This, to me, this suggests that whoever wrote this document does not understand how the state's education system
right.
works.
That would take probably a constitutional change to give the superintendent's department that power.
The school boards are elected. You can't, I mean, I don't necessarily fault the average Wisconsinite for not quite understanding exactly what it is the state superintendent does or has authority over. But if you're running for the office, I feel like you would kind of look into it, wouldn't you?
So this is conventionally a low turnout rate. These quote-unquote nonpartisan primaries. I throw air quotes around it because they usually end up being pretty partisan. Is this going to generate interest, do you think, and get people out voting?
It's generated interest for me. This is an odd story and coming right immediately before this election. I think for sure it does have the effect of raising the profile of this race. On the other hand, somebody today is having a press release calling this a three-ring circus, and that's not far wrong. I think it's maybe all publicity is good publicity, but I feel like this is not the sort of attention that these guys might have wished to have.
All right, a higher profile race, but it's a ways off, the race for the U.S. Senate seat next year. And maybe people think, oh, that's too early to think about elections. I'll say from my email inbox, some of the political parties are daily thinking about this election already. Congressman Sean Duffy, a lot of people had said he would run as the Republican against incumbent Senator Democrat Tammy Baldwin. He says, nope. What do we know about his decision?
Yeah, people do complain about, we just had an election and we're already talking about the next one. And I know this is a minority view, but I've got to tell you, I find the sort of this early maneuvering and political positioning in the sort of year before the election year way more interesting than anything that happened.
No, me too. I'm just kidding.
it's interesting that, so in this case, Republican Sean Duffy, he represents the 7th Congressional District in Wausau and sort of the northwest quadrant of the state. He was thought to have been a potential front runner to challenge Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. He goes on TV a lot. He raises a lot of money. He has won his congressional races by huge margins. So he was kind of a favorite. And as you can imagine, Wisconsin Republicans would really like to beat Tammy Baldwin in that Senate race. So Duffy says he is out. He cited his family as a reason that he's not running. He has 8 children, some quite young children. But this is politics, and so it's hard not to read it as at least some sort of a guess or a way of reading tea leaves that that maybe his calculation is that 2018 might be a tough year for Republicans.
So he's not in. Who are we looking at? A lot of people, I think, were waiting to see if Duffy was going to do it. He's not. So does that open the door to a lot of entries?
Yeah, it's very possible that there could be a big old primary. So there is Sheriff David Clark, the rather Trumpian figure who has been a darling of some out-of-state conservative activists. I have no idea if that goes anywhere or not. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald has expressed interest in running. And there are some other names kicking around, state legislators, Leah Vukmir, Dale Koyenga, and the real estate developer and rich guy Eric Hovde, who ran in 2012 but lost the Republican primary that year. So, I mean, it could end up being a big field.
We'll have a lot to watch for. Rob, thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Robert Mentzer, storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He joins us each week at this time for our Wisconsin News Roundup.